The reading is 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 to 10. Paul, Silas and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labour prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering, with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols, to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Loving Father, as we turn to your word, the Bible now, please give us humble hearts to hear and receive all that you would say to us in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When we start out with something new, we often need some encouragement to keep going. I sometimes wonder how things might be today if I'd stuck with the piano lessons I had when I was a young boy, or the clarinet lessons, or the saxophone lessons. It's a great regret to me that I didn't stick with any of them. Well, this letter we're studying over the next few weeks is about something even more important than music lessons. It's packed full of encouragement to keep going with Christ. It was sent from the Apostle Paul and his missionary companions, Silas and Timothy, to the Christians in Thessalonica, in modern-day Greece, to encourage them in their faith. Verse 1 says, Paul, Silas and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you. The church in Thessalonica was a young church. We can read how it was born in the book of Acts, chapter 17. Paul had visited Thessalonica only briefly. He was there for just a few weeks before being chased out of town by some of the Jews from the local synagogue. Yet that short visit was enough for the gospel to take root and for a church to be planted. It was a church that faced opposition from the start. It was a young, predominantly Gentile church that was under huge pressure. As we read this letter written to them, we discover that it was a church that was very much on Paul's heart. And he writes to them to encourage them to persevere in their faith and to keep growing in Christian maturity. The letter begins with thanksgiving. Paul gives thanks to God for the genuine signs of life that were present among them. And that's our first heading. Genuine signs of life. Please look down with me at verses 2 and 3. Paul writes this. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul gives thanks for the evidence of God's work among these Christians in Thessalonica. There is life in the church, real, God-given spiritual life. And the evidence is changed lives. The Thessalonians had not only heard the gospel message, they had acted on it. And Paul highlights three wonderful qualities that he witnessed in the Thessalonians. They had put their faith in Jesus Christ, trusting him with their eternal destiny. And that faith has resulted in works of service to God. They had a new love for others, which had resulted in practical acts of kindness. I like the effect you get when you throw a stone into a pond. The gospel was causing ripples of loving action to spread out from them across the church and the wider community. They had a new and certain hope in the return of Jesus, which had fueled their perseverance. As they looked forward to his return, they couldn't be put off from following him. So here then are three wonderful qualities that will keep appearing throughout the letter. It's the golden trio of faith, love, and hope. Paul gives thanks to God for these precious signs of life in the church in Thessalonica. But they've only just got started in the Christian life. Paul wants to encourage them to keep going and to keep growing. Now, one of the great joys at this time of year is to watch things beginning to grow. Along the road from me, there are some allotments and they're bursting with activity. The soil has been prepared, the seeds have been planted, and now the beds are being tended carefully as the vegetables begin to grow. And despite the hot weather recently, hopes are high for a good harvest. Well, Paul had planted the seed of the gospel in Thessalonica. It wasn't a particularly promising environment. The ground was dry. There were thorns and thistles. Yet signs of growth had begun to poke through. And the evidence was changed lives. It was work produced by faith, labor prompted by love, and endurance inspired by hope. And Paul wants it to continue. He wants a rich harvest. Spiritual life always brings with it changes in behavior. And perhaps you're aware of changes in your own life since coming to faith in Jesus. Perhaps, like the Thessalonians, you've come to faith quite recently. And perhaps you're aware of changed behavior in your life arising from a new allegiance to Christ, a new desire to serve him, a new concern for others that overflows in acts of kindness, a new confidence in the future that God has in store. Well, give thanks to God for his work in you and pray for it to continue. Perhaps you've been a Christian for some time, but you feel as though you've reached a bit of a standstill. Give thanks to God for the work he's already done in you and the evidence of real life that you can see in yourself. And ask his help to keep pressing on. Paul wants to see a rich harvest among his converts in Thessalonica. He wants to assure them that this spiritual life is genuine, so that they might be assured and confident as they press on with Christ. And to do so, he takes them back in the next few verses to how it all began. He wants to assure them that they are, in fact, a model of faith. Our second heading, a model of faith. Please look down at verse 4 to the first half of verse 8. Paul writes this: "For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Now, the Thessalonians might have wondered whether they'd been duped. When opposition arose, Paul had fled the scene so quickly. His stay had been such a short one. And given that he had not returned, perhaps they might wonder whether his message and their faith is genuine. Paul wants to assure them that it is. And he wants their assurance to be rooted not in their choice of God, but in God's choosing of them. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you. Conversion to Christ is not simply about a decision we make when we hear the gospel. It begins with a choice God has made in eternity past to call a people to himself. What a privilege it is to be chosen by God. Perhaps you followed the exploits of Captain Tom Moore recently as he raised more than £32 million for NHS charities by walking 100 laps of his garden before his 100th birthday. As a result of that remarkable effort, Captain Tom was awarded a knighthood by the Queen. And talking to reporters afterwards, he spoke about what a privilege that was. He said he was overawed at hearing the news and couldn't believe it was true. He said he'd been given an outstanding honour by the Queen. Now, it is an outstanding honour, one that he thoroughly deserved. And what an outstanding honour we have been given by the King of the Universe. Now, unlike Captain Tom, we can't point to any specific reasons why God should have chosen us and not others. We can't explain it. It's certainly not due to anything we have done. But nonetheless, it is a huge privilege that he has welcomed us into his family. Although the Thessalonians might be rejected by others because of their newfound faith, Paul is in no doubt that they are loved and chosen by God. And he's confident of this because of what happened when he had arrived in Thessalonica. First, they had heard the gospel preached. The gospel came to them not simply with words, but with the power of the Holy Spirit and with the deep conviction of Paul, the gospel messenger. Now, he didn't preach the gospel as though it was some kind of intellectual exercise. He was on fire for God, deeply convinced of the truths of the gospel and earnestly passing them on to others. And the Thessalonians had listened to him and had responded by welcoming his message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. Well, notice that Paul twice mentions the word and the spirit in the same breath. Verse 5, our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. And verse 6, you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. The Word of God and the Spirit of God always work together. They cannot be separated. Someone once said that you cannot get so much as a cigarette paper between the Word and the Spirit. The Word came to the Thessalonians with the power of the Spirit. They had understood that their sins were forgiven through faith in Jesus and that they were adopted into God's family with a glorious future ahead of them. And they were full of the joy that comes only from having the Holy Spirit in their hearts. It's a joy that Christians possess, even though others might persecute them. The willingness of the Thessalonians to suffer for the sake of the gospel was a great indication that they were genuinely converted. In this, they were following the example of Paul and of Jesus. And their conversion became known everywhere. Rather than seeing themselves as the last stop on the gospel's journey, they viewed themselves as just one more stop on its route around the world. They received it with joy and they passed it on to others. A genuine profession of faith will always be accompanied by a desire to pass the gospel on to others. Like the sound of church bells ringing, the gospel message rang out from the Thessalonians across the whole region. People saw the effect of the gospel on their lives and heard the gospel from their mouths. Their own witness and personal testimony revealed a sound grasp of the gospel. They were able to articulate it themselves so that others heard it through them. Having heard the gospel message from Paul, they received it with joy despite persecution, and they passed it on to others through their words and actions. They were a model of faith. It was all reliable evidence that they were indeed chosen by God. And that was confirmed in what others throughout Macedonia and Achaia were saying about them, who were speaking of their repentance and their faith. Now, our final heading is the significance of repentance and faith. Please look down at the rest of the passage, reading from the second half of verse 8. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Others throughout Macedonia and Achaia were able to report the dramatic change of direction that had happened in the lives of these Thessalonians. Now, they had done a 180-degree turn. It's what the Bible calls repentance. They had turned from serving idols to serve the living and true God. Now, when someone becomes a Christian, it always involves that same change of direction in their life. It involves a decisive turning away from the idols of our age. Our idols are those things we treasure most that come between us and God. Now, they're not necessarily bad things. They may be good things. They might be our children or our grandchildren, our careers, our money, our popularity or reputation, perhaps the sport we enjoy or the holidays we look forward to. Good things become idols when they become God things, when they take God's place as the center and focus of our lives. Our children have become idols when we routinely take them to sports events on Sundays rather than bringing them to church. Our career has become an idol when we're willing to be disobedient to Christ in order to get ahead. Our reputation has become an idol when we're willing to disown Christ in order to protect our popularity. Pleasure has become an idol when we're willing to do what God hates because it makes us feel good. Now, idols promise to fill our lives with happiness, but they can never fully satisfy. They are false gods that make empty promises. Only the living and true God can fully satisfy our desire for fulfillment and meaning and happiness. Now, repentance involves turning away from idols and stubbornly refusing to let anything come between you and God. And it isn't passive. It's more than saying sorry to God for past behaviour. Nor is it merely an intellectual renunciation of past behaviour. It involves action. Now, the new faith of the Thessalonians was intensely practical. They turned from idols to serve the living and true God. The God they turned to was not a bolt-on to their lives. Their whole lives were now lived in his service. It was their privilege and responsibility to serve him. They turned from idols to serve the living and true God. And their actions were based on the knowledge of his Son, Jesus Christ, which had come through the preaching of the gospel. The people of Macedonia and Achaia reported three things that the Thessalonians had come to believe about Jesus. Now, firstly, they'd come to believe that he had risen from the dead. He had died on a cross and then risen from the grave. Secondly, they'd come to believe that he will one day return from heaven to judge the world with justice. On that day, all sin will be punished, and all who have not obeyed the gospel and put their trust in Jesus will face God's condemnation. And thirdly, they'd come to believe that when Jesus returns, he will rescue all who trust in him. On that day, his sin-bearing sacrifice on the cross will rescue all his people from God's wrath, and they will live with him forever in glory. The Thessalonians were waiting for that day. They had put their faith in Jesus, and they were looking to the future, waiting for the salvation that he would bring. Now, of course, everyone's waiting at the moment. We're waiting for the end of these lockdown restrictions. We're all wondering when they will end. And we're looking forward to life after lockdown, the people we'll see and the good things we'll enjoy doing. Now, life can seem a bit aimless under lockdown. Much of life is on hold. But as Christians, we can be confident that God's work in us is not on hold. Even now, under lockdown, God is at work in us, making us more like his Son, teaching us obedience, forming our character, deepening our faith, and preparing us for the day of Christ's returning glory. We live now with our eyes fixed forward in eager anticipation of that day and the salvation that he will bring. Now, in a sense, we're all oriented towards the future at the moment. But for the Christian, life is oriented towards something even bigger than the end of lockdown. For the Christian, life is lived in eager anticipation of the return of Jesus. The Thessalonians had turned away from idols because they understood that the worship of idols could only bring them under God's condemnation and wrath. And they had put their faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ, because they understood that he alone could save them from the wrath to come and usher them safely into heaven. An authentic response to the gospel always includes both repentance and faith. And it's always oriented to the future, living each day in the light of Christ's return. Such a response assures us that we are chosen by God and are at the heart of his eternal plan of salvation and grace. Well, Paul didn't need to say anything about the repentance and faith of the Thessalonians because it was being reported over the whole region of Macedonia and Achaia. And that was evidence enough that they truly belonged to God. You may be able to look back to a specific day when you repented of your idols and turned to serve the living and true God, putting your faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. Or perhaps it's been a more gradual process. Either way, those around you will have noticed that your life has changed direction. They could hardly fail to see it. And regardless of what they think about it, it's a visible sign of God's work in you. Paul wants his readers you and me included, to be assured that our faith in God is genuine. He wants us to have confidence that we are loved and chosen by God. And he's showing us where to look to find that confidence. He wants us to remember how we responded to the gospel when we heard it, how we welcomed its message with joy in spite of the opposition it would bring, how we longed to pass it on to others through our words and actions, and how our lives have changed as a result. He wants us to remember how we turned from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for the return of his Son, Jesus Christ, from heaven. And he wants us to be assured that this is all evidence of God's work in us. His purpose is that we will all be filled with thankfulness to God, and that we will keep going with Christ and keep growing in Christian maturity. Let's pray. Loving Father, thank you for those who told us the good news of Jesus. Thank you for your work in us by your Spirit to bring us to repentance and faith. Please give us strong assurance that we are loved, chosen, and accepted by you. And help us to keep pressing on with Christ and growing in Christian maturity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.